Stand with me, and we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 2. That's not going to be exactly where we're going to be, but that will be our scripture reading for today. But as usual, we're going to have our memory verses. One's coming from Matthew chapter 28. The other one's going to be coming from Acts. I forget the verse, 17 I think it is. But let's just read them together. There's going to be three screens. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Matthew 28. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Acts 17:6. And in our scripture reading for today, this is not where we're going to be. This is not how we normally are. I know some of you guys are thinking, "I thought we're in Romans chapter 8. Because we do go through the Bible verse by verse. But we're not going to be in Romans 8 today. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, only one verse. Let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Heavenly Father, you may be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words of life. Thank you. You inhabit the praises of your people. Where two or three are gathered, we have more than two or three, but where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst. And if we agree in your name, Lord, you will hear and do. Lord, we pray, fill us each with your Holy Spirit afresh right now. And teach us your words of life by your Holy Spirit. Speak through me. It can't be my words. They're destructive. It has to be your words of life that you teach us, Lord. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Open up our minds and our hearts to what you have for us today. Engraft your word. Change us. Help us to draw just a little bit closer to you today. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your patience with us, your long suffering. Speak through me. Just refresh us, renew us, and grow us, Lord. Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we give you the glory because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, the name of our King, we pray this. Amen. So I know this seems a little weird to some of you that we're not going to be in Romans, because normally we'd be in Romans chapter 8 right now. But this is a special service, and I'm actually going to be... I didn't know really what to say, but I have some things to say, so I'm going to be somewhat winging it, so just bear with me. But about almost 2 years ago, not quite 2 years, January 1st, 2018, Jennifer, I was called to be the pastor of this church, and the Neelys went to Africa in obedience to the Lord, and I took the... I stepped up to this role, this calling. I answered this calling, obedience to the Lord, and obedience to the Lord. And I never really understood at first, at the beginning of when I was called to be the pastor here, the shepherd you, the shepherd, the Lord's flock here, what that entailed until a little bit later on in it. Then he kind of showed me exactly what it was, what I was supposed to do as an instrument in his mighty hands. And I always emphasize, there's a lot of things I've emphasized and repeated over and over and over and over again from this pulpit and to you personally, many of you personally. And one is to always be an instrument in his mighty hands, to be a willing and useful instrument in his mighty hands. But there was... And a little bit later on, then he kind of showed me what that role was. And I didn't really know how long it was going to be. I've shared that many times from the pulpit and at meetings and personally with some of you, what he called me to do. And I didn't know how long that was going to be, but apparently it was a short stint. And that's okay with me because it's the Lord's will be done, right? Not mine. And I'm so thankful for that. So, not too long ago, a few months ago, we moved to Collinsville. Jennifer and I moved to Collinsville with no intention on moving anywhere or buying another house. And he opened this up and he just made it happen within less than a month, about 2 weeks or so, right? We were moved into Collinsville. And at that point, during my quiet time in the morning, I was spending some time with the Lord, like I always do in the mornings, and he said, plant. And I didn't really understand what that meant, except as time went on, he kept telling me, you're going to plant. And then I started to understand that that was in Collinsville. And so I waited, and I prayed, and I told Jennifer, and we prayed about what that would look like. We thought, well, is it a Bible study in the house? What does that look like, Lord? And so as time went on, we were introduced to a ministry there called Dividing Bread Ministries. And they have several little shops. And they're actually going to be here next week. I forgot about that announcement. Please have a show of force. Come next week because Dividing Bread's going to be here. Remember Trenches? They're the last visitor for the thing I've been doing this fall called Trenches. And they're about how to get us into the trenches and take our faith out there to the streets. And they're the last visitor. And they're going to be talking about what they do, Dividing Bread Ministries, next Sunday, Potluck Sunday. So please, let's have a show of force and hear them, because one reason is we've been called to be the spiritual arm of Dividing Bread Ministries, Jennifer and I. And so we were introduced to them, and suddenly I went to one of their meetings, one of their board meetings. I don't want to take too much from Dividing Bread because they're going to come next week and talk. So I won't tell you guys about their testimony. But what we were sitting in their board meeting. I was sitting in their board meeting, and they were sharing what they do and the history of Dividing Bread, their testimony, how the Lord's used them, how the Lord called them, and all these different things. And the Lord says, here. So I said, okay, I think that I'm supposed to plant here with Dividing Bread Ministries. And so I was sitting there, and the Lord just said, it just pressed upon my heart. And so at that board meeting, I says, and would you like, because what they do is they meet the physical needs of the people in the community with clothing, furniture, food, and stuff. And I says, would you like a Bible study? And they said, how soon can you start? So I said, well, I gave them a date in October and on a Thursday night, and they said, okay. So we began a Bible study there on October 3rd. And it's only about seven people. But the Lord, through our time there, if you notice on my Facebook post that my typical study office is Daylight Donuts in Collinsville, and so I sit there, and as I sit there, every time I'm studying for the next sermon at Daylight Donuts, the Lord plops someone in the seat right in front of me, and starts asking me questions, and so I've been able to minister one-on-one and with people in Collinsville. And it's just been a real amazing blessing. The Lord just has a way of doing that type of stuff. You just got to show up, and he brings those folks into your life. And so as time went on, I noticed, and some of you guys noticed, that I've been probably a little bit exhausted because I've been between two ministries. And the Lord has pressed upon my heart. He says, look, because I've been fighting it. I don't want to leave here. But he says, I want you here. And I've been fighting it. And Jennifer knows I've been fighting it. And she goes, man, you're exhausted. Stop. And so you're exhausting me. And so I said, okay. And because there is literally every single day, there's something that goes on because I'm between two. And so I said, okay, Lord, I got it. I understand. And so I spoke to Mark, and which you all, of course, know, Mark, my mentor. He's decided, he knows, pressed upon his heart by the Lord to take this ministry back here. So after I share a little bit of my heart and some scripture here, I'm going to, this is my last service. And I'm going to devote completely to, we called it, it's with Dividing Bread. So the Lord laid on my heart, and it was confirmed by Mark on Friday. It's called Bread of Life Fellowship. And so I'm going to devote completely to Bread of Life Fellowship. And it's just, it's, and this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. But it's almost like it's become where I'm leaving, when I leave church here, it's like every Sunday since the Lord started, be careful with that, the Lord started Bread of Life Fellowship and called me to that, every Sunday and every Wednesday night, it's like I'm leaving my relatives in another state. I've visited you, and I'll have love for you, but I'm visiting. But when I go and to Thursday nights and get that little group of people inside that dividing bread store, it's like, but I'm home. I'm leaving my relatives that I love very much every Wednesday and Sunday. But then when I get to the Collinsville store and have that, then it's like we made it back home from a trip, you know? And that's how it feels. And that's not a bad thing. That means I have love for both. But you're my relatives in another state now. And that's my house. Yes. And so it really can't be that way because I can't divide myself like that. And so I have to invest. I have to invest. I got to put both feet forward. What do I preach from the pulpit all the time about? Putting both feet forward, right? Investing, pouring yourself into it, and making a full commitment, a full investment, and putting both feet forward. And I haven't been doing that. I have one foot over here and one foot over here. And that's really hard to do. And it's been tiring me out. And because you guys are exhausting. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I wanted to just share some. I'm just kidding. I got new folks in here. They're probably wondering what is going on. No, I'm joking. You know I'm a kidder. But I've had some heartfelt emails. And I'm going to address those things. I'm not going to mention any names. And they're heartfelt. They're lovely emails. And I had some phone calls. And I've had some one-on-ones since the word got out. And I want to be there. And there's some people I've been counseling. And I said, I'm still there. And I will continue to meet with you. If Mark gives me permission to do that, I would continue to counsel you. Since we started the counseling, I would continue to counsel you. I have the privilege of a future counsel way down the road, a few years from now, I think. But I won't put them on the spot again. But I'm hoping for that at some point, that I get the privilege to do their counseling at some point down the road, like 10 years from now. But I wanted to share a few things. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and I'm going to not do a deep expository teaching of it because I've already taught through Acts with you guys. But that's a favorite passage of mine, and I think it's appropriate, and it's what the Lord laid on my heart. It's not to puff me up. It's not to do anything, but it's my goodbye and encouragement to you. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17. But before I go through that, there's some things I said, Jennifer, what do we talk about? What do I talk about? What do I share here? What do I share here? What do I do? So I'm going to close with a letter that I wrote, the Lord pressed upon my heart, and I wrote out a long time ago, and I gave to Pastor Mark to sign his name to it and keep me accountable to it. And then another letter from another person, another missionary that lost their life in the mission field, and I'm going to share what they did. I'm going to end with that, but I want to share just a few things. Five things, and so Jennifer and I decided, well, why don't we just share a few things that we've learned on the way, this journey, and what we see in you as the time went on for the last almost 2 years. But one thing that he laid on my heart that I said a long time ago, and I mentioned from the pulpit, I mentioned at meetings and maybe one-on-one, that what he called me to do, and he kind of later on kind of shared it with me, but I didn't, like I told you, I didn't know how long that stint was going to be, how long that was going to be. But I shared one time at one of our gatherings back here, our servants' meetings, that one of the role that he called me to do was to be sort of a pruning hook / stoker for a fire. And I was going to be an instrument in his mighty hands, his work. I'm just an instrument, but so I'm not putting anything on me. I was just, okay, I'll do that. And so I was kind of a pruning hook / stoker for a fire. And he laid on my heart one time this illustration. I always like this illustration where where there was a pastor that went and visited somebody who, back in the day when they had hearths in a house and stuff, and you sat by the fireplace and everything. The story I heard once where a pastor, some guy stopped coming to church for a while and it was missing. So the pastor went and visited him and knocked on his door, and the guy let the pastor in, and they sat by the fire. And the guy went and made some tea or whatever it was. Excuse me. And the pastor, before they started talking, took one of the logs out and stuck it on the bricks out in front of the fire. And as they began to talk, that log in the fireplace, that log he took out, the flame died down and it became cold. And then before he got done talking, he said that he put the log back in the fire and ignited. And he goes, and the guy finally asked the pastor, why did you do that before he left? Why did you take the log out and why did you put it back in? And he says, you became that log. The log was taken out of the fire, the fellowship, and it got cold. And then, but if you want to get back in, if you want to get back on fire, you have to get back into fellowship and begin under the teaching of the word. And so he put it back in, and that fire, that log reignited immediately. Well, the Lord took that illustration and kind of placed upon what I was supposed to do, and Jennifer being my helpmate, my faithful helpmate, was to do, was to actually take some logs away, to allow some logs to go, to take some logs out of the fire, to get it to a few little logs, and just stoke that to white hot, stoke that little fire to white hot again, stoke those few logs that are in there to white hot. And it was a painful process, but it happened, but the Lord did it all. The Lord did it all. And He did. He did do that faithfully. And I'm not here to stand up in the pulpit to get to beat anybody up or to get 2 cents in, but He did it. He whittled it down to this little fire. And He says, what I need to do is get this little group of logs white hot. And once this little group of logs get white hot, then I can add logs to it. Add logs to it. Because we're constantly praying, add to the church daily. Those who are being saved, Lord, please add to the church. But He says, let me get it white hot again. Let me get a core group white hot. And then I can add logs back to it. I'm not going to add logs to a cold fire. I'm going to add logs to a hot fire. And He did that. He did that. So some things we learn on the way. Jennifer and I learned. We talked about this, and we picked out 5 things. 1, God is completely faithful. God is completely faithful. Matter of fact, He is just absolutely faithful. There are times when we were kind of spooked. You could talk to the board, and any of us, and we were kind of spooked because He whittled it down so far that actually the bills, the income wasn't matching the bills that needed to get the outcome. But the Lord faithfully met every single month. Faithfully. He faithfully preserved everything. Faithfully. He was faithful to draw back those we were praying to draw back. He faithfully healed hearts that we were praying would be healed. He faithfully healed marriages that needed healing. He faithfully does everything. The work is His. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Another thing we learned is His love for me is beyond my ability to comprehend. I don't understand everything. You guys know that when I stand up here, and I proclaim that all the time. Every time I get up here, I have no clue what I'm doing. And I still don't have no clue what I'm doing. I just kind of follow the Lord. I look at the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to me, gives me a scripture. And I says, okay, I'll do it that way. Which reminds me to tell you to do things, live this out literally. Literally live out the Bible. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. This is not a corrective talk. This is my last talk. So I want to encourage you. Live it out literally. What you read, do. Or don't do. Whatever the Lord is commanding you in the scriptures, live this out literally. The scriptures we read today that I want you to memorize this week are important scriptures, the scriptures that speak to us. When we started this thing, one thing that because of that painting over the door, that city that's turned upside down, one of the things we were supposed to do, what was my heart, what the Lord pressed upon me, is that we go forth and share our faith and turn that world upside down. Let the Lord turn the world upside down using us. And so that's why I had that painting for this whole time of a city that's upside down. If you ever wonder what that's for. So remind you as you go through those doors that you want to be an instrument in the Lord's mighty hands to turn that world upside down for Christ. Turn that world upside down for Christ. Another thing I learned was God is most glorified when He uses someone like me in my weakness, with my inabilities, disabilities, whatever you want to call them. I shared you those things that I have problems with. I wanted you to know who was up behind the pulpit. I didn't share those things like my dyslexia, my stuttering, my stage fright, and things like that to just say, oh, woe is me. I said it to encourage you that He can use anybody. You just have to say yes. Yes. Use me. Doesn't matter what hindrances you think you got. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, He can use you. There's been times up here when I'm really tired and I've stuttered all the way through the message and turned every single word around and even scriptures around. And I know that I do it because you guys give me this look like. But He can use you. He can use you. Another thing we learned, God wants humble servants, not pedigrees, positions, titles. Not polish, but He wants to spit. What I mean by that, He doesn't want to spit and polish, but He wants, let's get to work. Let's get to work. I have none of that. I have none of that. Except to spit. I have a lot of spit. I do spit a lot up here. And then holiness. Obedience and sacrifice. I always think about John 13 where Jesus washed the disciples' feet and He gave those guys the example of servanthood, of what leadership actually would look like. That's actually what He was teaching. What He was teaching was leadership. Not necessarily servanthood, but the idea that these men needed to learn from Jesus during that time was leadership. And what leadership looked like, and it's washing feet. I hopefully, not to puff myself up, I hopefully led that way. Cleaning toilets and mopping floors and doing things like that. Drove John crazy back there. Me always being the janitor. But I was the pastor. So what does that make me? The janitor. I'm not trying to set you up. But that does. It makes me the foot washer, the janitor. Because that's what leadership looks like in the Bible sense. Then we talked about things like, then we were wondering, what else should we talk about? And she says, we kind of came up together, says, well, what about five things we see, the changes that were made with this little core group? One thing we saw was a new sense of community. He whittled it so far down that the community that was here had no choice but to be a community, building each other up. We all have areas we need to grow, and we all have strengths and gifts we bring. We're all different places, but there's this little body, this little community of logs that is white hot now, brings a different aspect of the Christian walk. Some, it's to the cross I'll go, and I will die for Jesus Christ. And we have people in the body like that are just fully on, you know? Let's die, let's go. And then we have some who are bring to the body this very conservative approach, and I just love it. And then there's some who bring to the body this, I mean, there's just all these different aspects. And we were looking at it, and I was like, man, the body has, this little group of logs has something, a different aspect that they bring that we can glean from. It's like a vegetable garden, you know? There's all this variety. And now we're thinking about it, it's like a garden. It's like a garden of God. And what did we say? What do I always encourage you guys to do on a weekly basis? Take his hand in the cool of the day and walk with him. Where? In the garden. And we started looking back. We take this. You can't see the tree. You can't see the forest for the trees, right? So you stand back a little bit and you say, what a beautiful garden that he's created here at Calvary Chapel Tulsa. What a beautiful garden. Different aromas, different looks, different benefits, different giftings. What a beautiful garden. What a great place. What a great place right here. I'm biased, but what a great place right here to take the hand of Jesus and walk with him in the cool of the day in this garden here. Well, one thing we saw was a church being the body of Christ. Every day of the week, I had somebody either calling me, texting me, messaging me, or wanting to visit me. Either I go there, they come to me. Every day of the week, the body was being a body. Every day of the week, I had somebody. Sometimes multiple messages. I'd be studying and suddenly, bing, 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 bing. Maybe 5, 6 people texting me. Verses, encouragements, I love yous. Every day, a church being the body of Christ, having the eyes of compassion, the ears of compassion, Jesus' eyes of compassion, Jesus' ears of compassion, being his compassionate hands and feet. Something we pray about all the time. His faithfulness, remember. Love and compassion. There is a level of love and compassion in this body that I just can't explain when I walk in. To the encouragements, to the building ups, all week long, all day long, a love and a compassion I have just never experienced except walking into this body of believers. To a guy who won't let me be here by myself and won't let me close the door because he's afraid someone's going to shoot me because I have a tendency to rub people the wrong way with the Word of God, and people really do want to shoot me. He knows it. So he stands by. Love and compassion. A zeal and a no-compromise walk. Not perfect. None of this is perfect. We're still in process. But I see an uncompromising walk and a new passion and zeal I just have never seen before. A new passion and a new zeal, a new boldness and a new courage. I mentioned a touching email I got on Friday. I won't mention any names, but it just touched my heart. But I want to encourage men, women, but men, I want to encourage you. I'm not the leader. I'm not the leader. I'm a teacher shepherd. I teach the word, and I make sure the sheep kind of stay within a certain corral. But I'm not the leader. You guys are the leaders. Jesus is the leader. He's the king. But he's called you men, women too, but men, to lead. Somebody was talking about evangelistic approach, like, But you call us to evangelism. You want us to get out there. You challenge us. Well, what did you get out of all that? That we should be sharing our faith. Go share your faith. What did you get out of all that? To really walk in obedience and holiness. To do this. Well, do it. You don't need me up here to tell you to do it. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you that tells you, compels you to do it because of love. Go do it. You want to reach the people out there in Tulsa, which I've been pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, I drill it into you guys. You caught that fire. Go do it. You don't need anybody up here to tell you to do it. You have the Lord that tells you to do it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Another thing I learned is I never measure up. Absolutely never measure up. And I started thinking about that, Lord. How do I express not measuring up? I can never do to please. It's only by the grace of God. Now, I'm not cutting out holy living and obedience. But even in my obedience to the Word of God and holy living, I still mess up. It's still. I can't measure up. I, that personal pronoun I, can't measure up. Only He can do it through me, in me and through me. I have to be completely surrendered, dead to self, and let Him do it through me. But I can never measure up. Something I learned. And I thought about that, and the Lord laid on my heart. He goes, when you were a baby, you caught pneumonia. And you were put in an incubator, and you almost died. When you were a little boy, you lay in bed there, and you used to ask the question I did. You used to ask the question, why was I born me? Gosh, that's such a mind-boggling question for a little boy. But I was a little boy laying in bed, always thinking, why was I born me and why was I not born something else? And He used to say, I made you that way. And I never understood it until later on in my adult years, what that conversation, who I was actually having a conversation with. Then there was that time I was almost hit by a car, and the car stopped about 3 feet from me. I was a little boy crossing the street. And there was that time getting into the wrong crowd in high school that I was almost shot twice. One bullet went around me. I tell you, it went around me. I was out in the park, gang war, gang fight in San Diego, Southern California, and stuff. Two gang members there. I brought Jennifer with me. Two gang members behind me. I was in between. One shot, wanted to shoot this one behind me. I turned around. The guy was shot. His gut was split open. And I was standing in front of him. And I think later on, and I think about, He reminded me, He says, remember that time you got so drunk as a skunk in the middle of winter, 20 below zero weather, and you passed out in the snow and you woke up in a bed? You should have been dead. And remember when I was with the Marines as a combat corpsman, I have a whole slew of remembers there. And He says, I preserved you, I saved you, I preserved you for this day. And you think now you can work to please me? When you were receiving my grace since you were born? my mercy and my grace since you the day you were born? Now you think you measure up? Oh boy. Touché. No, I don't, and I never will. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. Another thing I learned is never measure the body or a believer by the self-o-meter. How they treat me is really not a reflection or even a consideration how you're treated. Oh, I don't think they love me. Maybe because. Or this guy says, I don't love him. So does that mean I don't love the body? And I always try to compare everything to the self-o-meter. And I had to learn to quit comparing everything to the self-o-meter and just be obedient to Jesus. Just go forward and be obedient to Jesus. They fall at your right hand, they fall at your left side. That's God's business, not mine. Love them. Care for them, pray for them, keep going in forward motion with Jesus. Leave everything else to Him. Let me read this to you, then I'll close. I guess I didn't keep it short enough, really, enough. But Acts chapter 20, verse 17, I'm just going to actually read through this. I may stop at a couple points, but I'm not going to teach this expositorily because I've already done that. But really, this is just from my heart. From my heart and my encouragements to you again. Verse 17 of chapter 20 of Acts. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders. This is Paul. He actually spent 3 years in Ephesus teaching and preaching. But here he's actually coming back because he's going back to Jerusalem where he's going to find chains and he's going to be going back to Rome. He's coming to the end of this ministry of being kind of going through missionary trips, and now he's coming to the end where he's going to be going from prison to prison setting. But he says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, and I hope it was an obedient way in serving you with love and serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears, and trials, which happened to me by plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, I'm reading this from me to you. And encouraging you to continue this. Okay, so take it this way. And see, now I go bound in the spirit of to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. I hope I still see you guys, but therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. No, not really, because you have an even better shepherd, guys. Not sparing the flock. From among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. You guys need to really kind of help watch with Mark, be that watchful shepherd. lift Pastor Mark up. Lift Pastor Mark up and watch with him. Men, watch with him. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend, now this is really from my heart. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. I did like Mike Murray's hat, though, his Under Armour hat. I do covet that sometimes. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. That's in the body and outside the body, but in the body first. Be that community. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. I encourage you for homework, read Romans 12 again. Be that community of believers. Romans chapter 12, be that community of believers. Study that out this week and really let that sink deep into your hearts, what a community is to be like. And I want to close with this. I'm just going to read these things to you. But the Lord has told me to back away. In love, but to back away, to get out of the way. Go do this, get out of the way. So I'm going to back away. I've been holding on too tightly anyway, so it's been overdue. So I'm going to back away. This is a letter I wrote, something the Lord laid on my heart, a commitment that I was going to make. And Mark signed it years ago, his name to it to hold me to it. And then I'm going to read that and something else, and then we'll close. My prayer has been that the Lord would refine me so that he looks upon me, he sees his own reflection, his own holiness. I wanted to truly walk out Galatians 2:20, which he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Many of you know that's my life first. The Lord showed me that I was a self-made Christian when I should be an earthen vessel filled with his presence, his holiness. He showed me that I was a slave to sin, but that he purchased me with his precious blood from the auction block. And now I had become a slave in his household, free from sin, but still a slave. Not free to live any way I pleased. Holiness demands a life consecrated to God and set apart from the world. A.W. Tozer said, I don't think you can be a Christian without being a disciple. The idea that I can come to the Lord and by grace have all my sins forgiven and have my name written in heaven and have the same time and at the same time raise hell all the way to heaven is impossible and unscriptural and not found in the Bible. He showed me that the next step I needed to decide was to become a willing slave, a bondservant. He said to me, do you really mean it when you say I am Lord of all or not at all? Do you really mean it that I am Lord of all in your life? He told me that if I wanted to be a true disciple of his, that I first had to count the cost. So I started reading books like Killing Christians, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and Extreme Devotion, and I began to receive new insight into what the cost really is to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. The cost involves a complete denial of self and my perceived rights. This is one of the responses God's holiness demands of us. It doesn't really matter what happens to me so long as the kingdom is advanced and the message of the cross is shared with all. It was a common thought that when you shared your faith, the worst they could do was to say, no, leave me alone or shut up. But the real cost could be torture, public humiliation, or even death. He showed me that he has a purpose and a plan for my life. And he took me to Ezekiel 3:16-22. Now it came to pass in that at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, I say, and he was talking to Ezekiel, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he turns and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you shall have delivered your own soul or your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. He showed me that he wants me to be a watchman, to deliver the message of the cross to the wicked and to the righteous. To the wicked, because they are living in sin and rejection of Jesus Christ. To the righteous, because they have left their first love. He told me that if I don't deliver the message and they die in their sin, that their blood is on my hands. So I had to ask the question to myself, whose blood is on my hands? Because I failed to deliver a message, the message of the cross. He showed me that he wants revival. But then he told me to draw a circle around myself, and the revival had to first start inside that circle. He told me to examine myself, and if there was any area in my life that wasn't under his lordship, then I needed to repent. He told me to purify myself, to let him have every part of me. Then this is the response his holiness demands of every one of us. This is what 1 Peter 1:16 means when it says, be holy, for I am holy. He says, he took me to Matthew 10:32-33, which says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will go also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. He asked me if I was living out this confession. He said, if I am completely yielded to him and he has every part of me, that it would show. He said, if I am denying him access to any part of me or holding on to any sin, that would also show. He said he wants to use me to reach the lost. But I have to take this seriously. I can't play games. He needs to have every part of me. He has to be Lord of all. And if there is any part of me I am holding back from him, then I cannot call him Lord. God will not be mocked. If I am a Christian, saved by grace through faith, and declare him my Lord, if I am his slave, if I choose to be his bond servant, then he needs to be Lord of all, and I cannot deny him any part of my life. If I'm going to be a watchman, his messenger, his witness, his hands, his feet, he needs to have all of me. Therefore, there can be no area off limits to him. This is the response God's holiness demands of us. I've learned by the grace of God, that I had not been fully surrendered to Him, then there had been too much of me in my Christian walk. My new identity must be Galatians 2:20. To paraphrase, Stephen has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer Stephen who lives, but Christ lives in Stephen. And if the life that Stephen now lives in the flesh, Stephen lives by faith in the Son of God who loves Stephen and gave himself for Stephen. And this is what we need to do. Each one of us needs to decide this. And I encourage you to decide this. To decide this. You guys decide this. And each one of you individually and corporately decide this as a body. I like this last thing I'll read and I'll close. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. This is a very popular thing, and many of you probably have read this and seen it, and we put it on the last Shepherd's Staff. But this is something Jennifer and I have kind of taken to heart, and we have it posted in our house, and we just kind of remind ourselves of this. This was from a missionary who lost his life. Where? Don't remember. Okay. I can't remember either. I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die is cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, and tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, and prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop. Preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. This is my charge, my command, if I can give one. I've never done it before, but I'm going to give one now. My charge to this body, this is what you live like. You are the core group, and He's going to be adding to this body new logs, but they need to meet a white hot fire. And you guys are zealous and white hot. I see it. I know it. He's already adding, hopefully, new logs. But this is my charge to you guys. Live this out. Live this out. Live this out. Worship team, where's worship? Come on up. For one more time, I don't know if it'll continue. That'll be up to Pastor Mark, but you know how on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings we have 5 minutes of quiet prayer time. So as John plays quietly, I want you guys to just have some quiet prayer time in your seats. If you need prayer, come up and I'll pray with you. I'll pray this for you, that you will live this out, the fellowship of the unashamed. You guys are a white hot fire. A core group of just, I'm just blown away. just continue. Actually, get hotter. Get hotter. Just continue to the work. Continue the work. And pray for me.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay.
White hot firebrand is, I think, what he's referring to. Talking about the logs. Needs to be a starter in there, right?
Yeah.
And you've been the firebrand. So, I want to thank Steve. And he stepped in at a pretty crucial time in the ministry here a few years back. Or a couple years. It's been almost 2 years, not quite. 22 months, but I'm not counting. And as he was speaking today, this old familiar verse came back regarding the calling. You know, we've discussed it and the calling that he's stepping off into. But I just want to give you some words of encouragement.
Okay.
And it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I like that word, trust in the Lord. If you look at what that means, it means to lie prostrate, surrendered completely before Him. And when you do that, which Stephen has strove to do, it's draining. And it should be draining. Every part of our fiber and our being should be poured out before God. And I think that's what He's encouraging us to do. And when you serve the Lord in that capacity where you are completely drained out before Him, and it beats you up. Okay, we're promised the trials and the tribulations and the in ministry of any sort. That's just what comes along with it. And I think that he goes on in verse 7 to encourage us. He said, then don't be wise in your own eyes. If you have temptation to do that. Instead, fear the Lord, depart from evil. A lot to be said for fearing the Lord today, because
yes,
the church, a lot of people just don't fear God. We need to be fearful. He's a mighty God.
Yes.
And so, fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And here's the encouragement for all of us. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Mm-hmm.
When you're weary, when you're given all that you have, he said, you just trust in me. And I'll strengthen you and I'll renew you from the inside out. Sometimes you got to from the outside.
Yeah.
So that's my encouragement. You're stepping off into something new, which is really pretty cool. And we're not stepping off into something old.
No.
We're stepping off into what God wants. There's a lot of changes. And do you like change in your life? Liar. Anyway, none of us do. So we're just praying for God's leading, for you and for Jennifer, and for what He has in store for you. You know, this is God's church.
Yes.
Mine's not Stephen's.
Mm-mm.
And look what He's doing in your life, what He wants to do. I like it that Stephen's going to still be hanging around. Jennifer's going to be hanging around. Isn't that, you know, usually when things like this happen, people leave and it's, they're gone. He doesn't work like that in our lives here. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, as Stephen has said, in which we proclaim. Thank you for Stephen and Jennifer and their service to you, their love for this body, and their service being poured out, Lord, for your glory. For the humility that we pray for has been exemplified. We thank you for that, Lord. You being our ultimate example of humility, Father, lived out in a life of through a life of a man and a woman, Lord, that have truly done that and will continue to do that. I pray a blessing upon this new adventure. Because, Lord, serving you is a grand adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, bless them. surround them, protect them, bless their marriage. Come against the enemy, Lord, I pray in the name and by the blood of Jesus, that wants to come in and cause doubts and trouble. Will you come against them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Instead, put a hedge of protection around them, the ministry that they're stepping into, a fire in their midst. For your glory, Father. That's it. We just want to pour our lives out for your glory. And for this body, Lord, I'm praying for that they just each one stand in agreement with what you're doing. Certainly what you have done, but what you are doing. We just want you to be glorified in it. And we would be careful, Father, to give you the honor and the glory for all of it. As you bring health, Lord, to this body. And strength, Lord, to our bones. We praise you for it. And we just want to give you the honor. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.